Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Speaking of authority, we're going to be talking about in the next program, you got to catch it, is praying for those in authority over you. My goodness. This is what Paul tells Timothy. He says, listen, this is good. This is how you have a peaceful life. This is pleasing to God to pray for those in authority over you. But we're going to talk about a broader span of understanding that. Because you can pray for a man all day long, but if you don't pray for his wife could be determining where everything happens in that family, and she needs just as much prayer as the husband needs. Or you can pray for those children in the household, but if you don't pray for their parents, I mean, you pray for these parents in this household, but if you don't pray for their children, the children could be used by the adversary to destroy the parents. So understanding, hey, how to pray for the whole, you know, this authority that God has given us authority. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about universities and how 81% of Christians going to public universities are renouncing their faith by the time they're done. 50% of Christians going to Christian universities are renouncing their faith in Jesus Christ when they're done. And staffs are determining what our congressmen actually see. I'm telling you, if we pray, God knows how to get a message to them. Praying for those in authority over you. The hardest thing to do sometimes is abused authority, praying for it in the right way. Right? This is kind of what you're hearing today about, you know, praying for authority is you hear people talking negatively about it. I'm fixing to need that. They're talking negatively about it. Their prayer is like, take her out. Take him out. I was like,
well, that ain't prayer.
That's not prayer. I mean, you know, that when you come from England, it's like, God save the king, God save the queen. And, you know, God save the courts. I believe the prayer is in America when the Supreme Court meets is a prayer about,
really?
Oh yeah. The ones that's actually trying to rule prayer out.
Take prayer out.
It has a prayer. It opens with a prayer, by the way.
Should we pray that publicly or privately?
They're talking about what they're going to do right now. They will regret ever taking it out of the aisle. But this is what Paul, you know, tells Timothy, his spiritual son, as he's writing him and letting him know about how important it is to prayer. He talks about it in 1 Timothy. And Timothy, understand when you say 1 Timothy, it's the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. It's called Timothy because it was Timothy's letter. Mm-hmm. It's not all, you know, ooey-gooey spiritual stuff. This is an email he sent, okay? And it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. He says, Paul's telling Timothy, he says, I urge you. He says, first of all, think about that. Of all the things you can do when you're praying for yourself and your stuff and your things and your money and your house and your car, you're missing the whole thing. You're in disobedience to what God is telling us to do. The very first thing that we do is this is what we do. He says, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving should be made for all people. Thanksgiving? Think about it. Lord, I just want to thank you for all those that are just getting up under my skin today. You're helping me realize I have skin and right. I should have died to myself.
Right.
Thank you so much. I mean, I have a situation on my computer right now that I just celebrate it sometimes because it's this mouse pad is located like in the worst place. It's the worst place. So you're typing and all of a sudden, I guessed, maybe some demon touches, I don't know, but your hand touches it somehow. And something just disappears. Everything just disappears because it touches the mouse pad. And I'm thinking, like, why would you locate a mouse pad right there? And I used to be like, you know, faster, faster. And I was like, you know what? God, I'm not going to be like Pat anymore. I'm telling you, this is, relax a little bit.
Hey.
Relax a little bit. You know, move at John's pace.
Chill out. Relax. Chillax, man.
What was that song? Remember the song? What was that song we used to play at the steering committees? Everything's going to, don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry.
That's it.
Be happy. Because we were panicking. Oh, my goodness. this whole thing is not going to happen. Now he says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions would be things like, they need this and I need that or they need this. But this is not about us. This is about other people. So can you meet their need here? Can you meet their need here? So that's a petition. You're asking God for stuff, things, healing stuff for people. Prayers, intercession. You see things happening like right now. People are in we're going to talk about authority, you know, that our legislators going through some huge pressures and we need to intercede for them asking God to intervene in their leadership, that the right things would happen. So that's somebody interceding, lifting them up, that godly staff would be around them and all that. And then thanksgiving for all people, because everybody's created in the image and the likeness of God. And I guess the biggest ones that we have to be mindful to thank God for are the very ones that never crossed our mind to thank God for. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I need to work on this every morning because I really didn't think anything good about you yesterday. That's how, you know what I'm saying? Right?
Yes.
I'm sure you don't have, that's never happened to you. Yeah. That's how you know what you need to work on, because you want to make sure that you're praying for folks, not against folks. Somebody says, I want to pray. Well, make sure you pray for me.
Right. Yeah,
pray for me. And but he says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all. For kings, which would be America right now, right? For kings and all those in authority. I mean, think about it. That's everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all those in authority. We found out in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, that all authority is established by God, and those who rebel against it rebel against what God has established, and they're bringing judgment on themselves. God didn't establish them for nothing, give them the sword for nothing. That's there to be able to punish the wrongdoer.
Mm-hmm.
But they're God's servant to be able to do you good. So if you're not praying for God's servants, how could that be God's servant? Listen, Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant. Was God's servant. When you think about Pharaoh, the reason why Joseph knew what God was going to do, because God spoke to Pharaoh authority about what was going to happen with the famines coming. He spoke to Pharaoh. Joseph had the grace to be able to interpret that dream and made arrangements based on what God said through Pharaoh, through authority.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Saul and David. He honored that authority. And Saul, I mean, he totally abused his place of authority. You look at Eli and Samuel. And Eli became a curse word, but Samuel always honored Eli and taught him how to hear the voice of God. You look over and over again in with the journey for Paul, for example, that he was rescued again and again from religious folks by the authority that was established by God. Even though they may have abused him, the religious folks wanted to kill him.
Mm.
And so he was rescued. They were God's servant. There were things that he got to different places. And so if they're going to seize you, you want to pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're going to and so understand, say, wait a minute. And by praying for them, we're going to find out as we listen to Alan Barton talk here, you know, some things we didn't even think about, perspective. And we've been praying, you know, for quite some time, and we're growing in it, and it takes a long time to really mature and grow in our goal. We've been praying for 24 hours on Mondays. We call it the prayer and fasting community, and we take three-hour watches, and we pray for different areas. So within 24 hours, we cover those areas, and one of those areas is authority. But we need to do better at it. I mean, Alan Barton is really challenging me, that we're going to hear about how to do that. We got to pray for those in authority over us. And we have been praying for our president. We've been praying for our governors and Congress. But there's other parts of authority I didn't even think about that he's going to bring about, that we'll talk about this, and professors and presidents of universities who are in authority over our kids. And he says, pray for all those in authority, all of them in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. I mean, think about that. In godliness, it's like some people are yelling at the authority, but who's praying for the authority? They're yelling at the authority saying, if you listen to me, then we can live godly and holy lives. It's like, no, you could live godly and holy lives in the basement of some dungeon somewhere. I mean, that's the fact is, if we want to live godly and holy life in the present country that we're in, when you start praying for those in authority over us, because they didn't get there by mistake.
Right.
God's totally in control. And then he goes on to say this in verse 3. He's writing, well, in the next part of his letter to Timothy. He says, this is good and pleasing. This is good and it pleases God, our Savior, when you do this. You want to please God? Pray for our president and quit cussing him.
Mm.
Quit speaking terrible things over him. Pray for him and his wife and his two daughters. Pray for your Congress, your legislator, your senator. Pray for your governor. But we're going to go deeper than that in a moment about praying. Realize this is pleasing to God for you to be able to do this. And this form of government we have today is much better than any evil king that could take your head off at a moment's notice. And God would have been okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
God would have been okay with that. And he says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved, which means the very one that you were cursing, you should have been praying for, because God wants that man or woman saved. He wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, and that man is Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Think about this. This is so important because, you know, we're talking about how this nation can shift to a place, how we can get back to our roots. And the roots are not the Constitution. The roots is what God's original intent was for this nation. And we do that when the church enters back into this place. And if 97% of us are robbing from God, we're not giving God his tithes and offerings. Mm-hmm. If 81% are not even picking up their Bibles at all, understand, I doubt very seriously that the church is praying at all. I mean, definitely praying for those in authority over them. More like speaking against authority, praying like, I need a car, I need stuff, I need things. And we've totally forego the pleasing prayer, which is to pray for those in authority over you. Mm-hmm. That make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And so we can begin to say, my goodness. So I want us to listen here to this, after this break, to Alan Barton, a man filled with wisdom. We just want to go ahead and join right now Alan Barton speaking on praying for those in authorities. He's talking with Kenneth Copeland. This is so powerful as we get a perspective of going deeper and praying for those in authority over us. Listen up.
What about these bills that are being handed?
See, that
and they ain't got time to read them.
You've just hit something.
Staff
there.
Staff comes in, don't they? Then they're going to tell him what they think that
that's
says.
Exactly it.
They may.
Now, what's what they're talking about? You have to understand the context. So they're talking about the man and woman you sent to Washington, D.C., who is getting all the blowback from the direction of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about them right now. Because how often do we only think about that one person that we don't think
that
about their entire staff? They got like four or five offices in the state. They got all these things happening. So the context of it, that's what they're talking about, is maybe your House of Representative, your representative, or your senator. And listen to what they're talking about, because the reason why is, understand that, just so you know, the Constitution works, that it is the House of Representatives who first is supposed to get the bill that says we'd like to have a law here.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to, it has to go through them first, if it has anything to do with taxing, especially. And so here they are now. This person you sent there shows up, and they get excited. They go, I got all this in front of me. And so they bring this huge staff around them. So that's what they're talking about, so you understand the context. The one that's the authority over your district, over your state. Listen up.
They lie.
That's right.
To get their own.
They'll have their own worldview. They have their own ends.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, one of the things we have started doing is we start working on training young people to be staff on Capitol Hill.
Wow.
Because that's almost more important. All right. I asked a group of pastors recently, had them together, said, think about the last 2 years. Session of Congress last 2 years. How many bills have you heard that Congress has dealt with in the last 2 years? And they came up 15 or 16.
Yeah.
I said, no, there's been between 10 and 13,000. Always is. Every 2 years, there's between 10 and 13. So you've heard 12, 15, 16 bills. Well, one of those bills was 2,500 pages. Another one's 1,500 pages. And there's 10 to 13,000 of those. I've never met a congressman yet who reads all the things on which he votes.
He can't.
That's why in Congress we also have what we call caucuses. We have caucuses because you have like the China caucus or the Navy caucus. What they'll do is they'll search every one of those 10 to 13,000 bills to see, is there anything that deals with the Navy or with the gangs or whatever it is. One of the biggest caucus on Capitol Hill is what's called the pro-life caucus. They go through all 13,000 bills looking for anything that might weaken pro-life, that might help abortion. And I mean, those staff there are great staff. Every stinking one of those bills they go through. And we've got about 200 and some odd members of Congress who are pro-life. And they say, Mr. Congressman, look in this bill. They tucked one line in here. There's 150 pages.
They stick something totally unrelated.
You change a comma, it can give you a different outcome. And having good staff. So when we pray for leaders and those in authority, you pray for staffers. And by the way, you might want to tell your kid, hey, you want to do something to change the world? You go be on the staff of a congressman.
Oh, yeah.
And you take your honesty and integrity with you. And just like Obadiah and Ahab's court and Jezebel, you can give good counsel that
pastors,
will help.
Pastors, are you listening?
That's right.
Are you listening, pastors? That you need to be teaching in the churches. You make this, make people aware of this.
That's right.
Your prayer people need to be praying over this. Our prayer staff here at the ministry and the prayer, particularly at the church, are involved in this. And two, talk to people about assignments, specific prayer assignments where the economy is concerned.
That's right.
Yes, according to these different issues, but different people.
Yeah.
Staff members like David's talking about here. And there are chaplains and there are different people that different ones have. It won't take much. Do a little research and find out who they are.
That's right.
Start praying for people by name.
That's right.
Call them out before the Lord. Find out who the staff is for your congressman, for your senator.
That's right.
And get names and put them up on the board, but cards up with their names. Call their name out before the
That's
Lord.
Right. That's right.
Very important.
It's really important. And by the way, in addition to the bills, 10,000 to 13,000 bills, there's also the regulations. And people have to read those regulations and give you the input on how big they are. Talk about how many bills there are. All right, I said there were 783,000 words in the Bible. There are hundreds of agencies who put out regulations. The regulations of just the IRS alone is 4.2 million words. You're talking at six times the IRS regulations, just that agency, six times more than the Bible. And that's what we have to live under. Well, let's throw in several hundred more agencies, and people have to read that stuff and try to find the most wicked stuff and get it out of there. I mean, people may recall a couple of years ago we had a thing where they took in God We Trust off our coins. We go, what happened?
Yeah.
A single line in the appropriation bill for the Treasury Department just took that out. The Treasury Department decided they didn't want that. Well, all the guys who read that bill, nobody saw that it was missing. Sometimes you see what's there, you don't see what's not there. You know, if I see a history book that says Abraham Lincoln dropped a nuclear weapon on Haiti to end World War I, I'd say, you're nuts, that didn't happen. But if they don't say anything at all about Abraham Lincoln, I don't notice that. And so what happened was the fact that they didn't put In God We Trust on the coins, nobody noticed that it was gone out. And then suddenly we see, but that's reading the regs. Who went through and read? So as soon as we found it, we said, no, you get it off the side of that coin, you get it right back up on top where everybody can see In God We Trust.
Yeah, they were going to put it around the...
They put it around the edge of the coin. They put it on the edge. They said, oh, we'll still have it there. Well, you can't see that. You got all the rifling that goes down the sides and you can't even tell. And then when we passed the bill to put it back on, somehow they forgot it. And they did several hundred thousand quarters with no In God We Trust anywhere on the coins. It just somehow got... But see, that's why you have staff that looks at that. And so not only with the laws, but with the agencies and with the regulations that go with all these things, you got to have good staff. And so when you pray for leaders and those in authority, don't just stop with the guys you see on TV. And by the way, that's another problem we have. As I asked a group of pastors recently, 435 members of the House, 100 members of the Senate, name everybody you've seen on TV in the last 2 years. A dozen names. And it's always the same 12 guys. All the righteous guys. We got a bunch of God-fearing guys there. We got some killer Bible studies on Capitol Hill. We got some guys who hear from God and seek Him. We've got a group called the 219 that meets right outside. They're members of Congress. They meet right outside the doors of the House of Representatives. And first votes every week, they're on their knees praying, God, how do I vote on this? I've got all these votes coming. What do you want me to do?
And that's so important. We've been 219. We've been praying. We were so impressed. Couple years back, we found out about Room 219, where those who are seeking God for direction, our congressmen and senators, that they will go to Room 219 and get on their knees before and after they pray, because they know they're just one vote.
Before and after they vote?
Yeah, before and after they vote, at least after. And just saying, Dear God, which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, think how powerful that is. And you think, he says, you know, if you can find one righteous man, two righteous men, 40 righteous men, we have righteous senators and congressmen who are going to pray. And we have others that are going probably to pray because it's, you know, it's a good PC thing to do. Right. If you want to get the conservative vote, let them find you on a knee. But there's also those that are doing, and I can name a few of them, but I don't want to do that. But, you know, praying for those in authority over us, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I want to make sure you need to go to this praying for those in authority over you is probably going to be the name of the post, but just look for it for today. And on there, you're going to be able to find out how to get all of these teachings from Kenneth Copeland Ministries and also Alan Barton. He has the Heritage Series and all that. And that's going to be made available to you on The Torch. You go to VFNTV.com and click on The Torch, and you're going to see it. But understand, I thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you understand now 10 to 13,000 bills, which is what a law is before it becomes a law. And a bill is this, just so you kind of understand it. You know, you get together in your community and you decide that, people are getting killed at this intersection. We need a red light here. We need a stop sign here. Well, there has to be a law for that. You just can't throw one up. So you have to put a bill together. Hey, we need a stop sign at such and such, so and so place. Because remember, there's going to be a statute in your state that's going to say, if you run this legal stop sign here that's been statute there, it's been proven by the Congress, state Congress, then you're going to be fined this amount of money. So it becomes a law with bite to it and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing with federal laws. So they have, but that's, maybe not a good idea to put a stop sign there. It may not be a good idea to create some regulatory situation over food trucks or something like that. I don't know. And so, but they have 10 to 13,000 potential bills like that coming, with one of them being 2,500 pages, which means who's going to read that?
Mm.
They're going to have a whole bunch of folks, and their responsibility is to grind through the information, every word, every dot, because even In God We Trust was squoze in there. You heard it.
Wow.
And they removed it for a moment. I mean, we're being screamed at church. We got to wake up. And this is one of the ways we can do it. We can pray for the staff that is around that legislator. Pray for them, because they have to read that, but then you have to have comprehension, because if they're talking about left, and all of a sudden there's like a right in there, it's not going to necessarily stand out to them. So we could pray for them that God would make it known to them, and they would find the needle in the dark haystack when somebody's trying to push their agenda and try to take God out of this nation. We're going to talk more about this in our next program. You got to get it. Listen to it. You can catch us on the other side. We're going to understand how to take this nation back. One way to do it is praying for those in authority over us. This is good. This is pleasing to God. And this is what God wants us to do, because he wants all men everywhere, including those in authority over you, to be saved. About praying for those in authority over you. I mean, we're going to a whole new perspective here, going deeper in the context of it, because we have been praying for, and maybe you haven't, but I want to challenge you to get the picture of the person who's in authority over you. Pray for the president. Pray for his family, because they're like in the center of this whole thing, in the White House. And then pray for your congressmen and your congresswoman and your senators, House representatives and Senate. Pray for your governors, but all the way down to your school board. But understand, every one of these representatives, they have a staff around them.
Mm.
And we need to know who their staff is. As a matter of fact, we need to know them by name, and we need to have a picture of their staff so that we can pray for them. I mean, think about the president's staff. When you have the situation we talked about yesterday in Israel, when Secretary John Kerry is part of the staff of the president. And so we need to pray for Secretary John Kerry, because he just went and did something totally unpleasing.
Mm.
But we can pray for him that God would speak to him. Listen, God has a way to get a message to folks. Understand, for some strange reason, the church is convinced that some folks are convinced because they got healed, that they're saved. Some people are convinced because they had a dream, they know Jesus.
Mm.
But if you understand and study the Word of God, that God will give authority dreams that don't know him at all. He'll put people in authority over God's people who don't know him at all, and he will direct their hearts like a water course to fulfill his will.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to pray, understand that all authority is established by him, and if we pray for them, maybe they will be for God and for us, and at least allow us to worship freely in the context of what we're doing. And think about it. There could be 30, 40, 50 staff members, and maybe what got cut out you didn't hear, but what Kenneth Copeland said when he was talking to Alan Barton was, and I'm sure he meant the word some, because not all, but some of these staff members, because the your representative is dependent upon them for reading these 10 to 13,000 bills with 2,500 pages potentially each to tell them what's in them. And you know, plain as day, that the way, if you ever heard about me teach on zero tolerance and people that seduce, you know, you're not an intercessor, you're intersuccessor. Hopefully that's a related article to this. It's not, you're not an intercessor, you're intersuccessor. It's where they're taking your authority. Zero tolerance and those that seduce authority, that some people just want to be a staffer. A lot of these people that you see today, like some of the people you see on MSNBC, one of them was a staffer for Tip O'Neill. Other ones were staffers for other. It's like, how did you get this place? It's like, how did you know you weren't that person? Mm-hmm. You didn't get elected. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, it's like you rode the coattails of the one they chose.
That's right.
And so what legislation they choose, I mean, think of it. They got to make a choice about what they're going to present because they expect them to make a choice. They expect them to make this choice. But the thing about it is, then I need to know your heart. I need to know your vision for this state that you're leading in, your vision for the nation. I don't want to put my two cents on it. What do you want? You need to hear the vision of that. And you need to pray that they understand what the vision is for God, for that state, for that district. And that's how you could pray for them. Then they have to go through all these bills in this legislation and find these little key words because it's like needles in haystacks. They put like the bridge to nowhere in the middle of you know, like I said, a Jesus bill that most people say, well, that's Jesus, vote for it. And it's like, read everything. It could say in the middle of it, so therefore we crucify him. And they got to read everything. And these guys read everything. And so then they have to present it. And so your legislature is dependent upon their staffer for being honest, sincere, not seduced by somebody outside of the White House. No lobbyist, sad to say they have, has taken them off and promised them something if you just present this or don't present that one up. And that's what happens. We have all these lobbyists that come in there. And they take their staffers out and they say, hey, let's all go down to the local sandwich shop or the local bar. And they sit around and they chat with staffers and they just drop these thoughts and they go back in and they're just like, and they're caught with that quagmire. Am I going to push this bill aside? Am I going to do this? They promised me a job at their firm when I'm done. They promised my wife a raise at her company because we're from the same district and they have their insurance companies down there. What do I do? And you got to pray for them that they would have grace and have mercy to be able to do what's right. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot depending on these staffers, a lot, and which means a lot of seduction is coming their way. Money, power, promotion, they're called lobbyists, are coming in there trying to seduce these men and women. And they have to be dogmatic for the one that they're for. You know, that this is what we're going to do. You're the leader here. They chose you. We're going to stick with what you say. It's why you have to vote in a good communicator who can actually communicate to his or her staff. Mm. I mean, and you see some good ones out there, Michelle Bachman, and other ones that said, "This is I'll make this clear to you." That's wrong, and it'd be easy to work for somebody with staff. Mm-hmm. And so praying for them by name, having their face up. Look how significant it is. First of all, empathy alone, the fact that if I got to read 10 to 13,000 bills in the session. With up to 2,500 words per each, looking for a needle in a haystack, I would appreciate your prayers. Pray for me. Pray that I would just maintain my sanity. And then I have to find something in this. You could pray very specifically that I look for specific phrases and words and everything that would stand out that would help produce a righteous law, you know, a law that keeps the original ten over the nation.
Yeah.
But also... just pray that God would get a message to them because God has ability to get a message through, even if it's a dream. And that's what I pray. I pray when it gets real deep, I'm like, Job 33, God, Job 33, wow. You know, in the middle of their sleep, warn them, let them know. Right. I mean, outside of everybody, have a dream like Nebuchadnezzar, and all of a sudden they're just like, what does this mean? And we're still talking today about a dream that Nebuchadnezzar has, and it's still being fulfilled today that Daniel interpreted, by the way, and he was an evil ruler. In the context of that. So don't tell me that God will not, he'll speak.
Yeah.
He will speak.
I'm looking at a congressman's website now, and he has about 19 staff members on that site. I mean, you know, listen right. on his team. That's a pretty large team. You think about right. it, it's a lot of people that could be influenced.
Who has family, who has sure. wives and husbands and children. You know, we can promise that you can get your child in a real good school. Mm. We have a promise that your wife will be a partner with our firm. Your husband will be a partner with our firm. And we'll let you live. I don't know, whatever it is. Yeah. And or we will tell people. We'll tell people you're a sinner. You know? Mm. And all of a sudden they go like, then they had that fear factor thing going on. And so they need prayer. They need really prayer. And we're realizing, my goodness, wow, that we've been blaming our leaders possibly for making bad decisions. But, you know, garbage in, garbage out. If all the staff gave them was garbage, or they were just bombarded by the seducing lobbyists, and they couldn't think clearly. Mm. They're just trying to keep their wife in their job because they're threatening to fire their wife now or something. I don't know. I'm just kind of theorizing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure nothing like that would happen
in
society.
Of course not.
And, but we need to pray for them. We need to pray for those in authority over us and praying for their staffers too. Totally makes sense. I totally get it. I was watching even a local city council meeting recently, and all these elected officials were totally dependent upon the staffers to present to them what they needed to do. Mm-hmm. That's just how it is. And they said, you know, you go do your studies, you come back and you let us know what the law says. You let us know, is this going to be an ordinance or this is going to be a policy? Let us know what other people are doing. But so much is put on those staffers. Mm-hmm. They need prayer. They need us to pray for them. They need us to lift them up. We need to pray not only for the one you voted in, but the ones that they're choosing and chose to serve them as staffers, because they need to have the heart of what God is wanting and what that one you voted to be able to put in office has the heart for. Because mm-hmm. you can have a good person. This is what happens. You send somebody to Washington, for example, and you say, what happened to them? Think about this. We're finding out. Maybe it was their staffer that we never prayed for. Mm. Maybe it was their choice of, yeah, somebody had a son and he was a big supporter, so I brought his son in. And his son, just because you're somebody's son doesn't mean you're not like Absalom or something. And so they bring somebody, our supporter's son, in to be able to come and work on the staff, and he's totally seduced and brings in all this negative, you know, it's like he takes that one, and all of a sudden they're voting for something crazy. And it's like, maybe it was a staffer. Mm. And so these are the guys you see sitting behind them on C-SPAN. These are the ones that you see doing the research. These are the ones answering to the councils and the school boards and all that. And so it's like, oh my goodness, now we can pray for them by name. Mm. We can put their picture up with love, knowing that God wants that person to be saved. And you can pray over them and their family and the leader that you chose to be able to. This is a powerful thing. It's very exciting.
Good.
Isn't it good?
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. And so one way to do that is go to their websites. You know, go to your state's website. Go to your go to the whitehouse.gov, you know, and find out what the staff is there. I mean, there's secretaries of everything there now.
Oh, right? Yeah.
There's like czars to pray for. I mean, there's and dear Lord, can we just remove czars and just have presidents and their staff? And czars have untold power. I mean, it's crazy. Some things that they can have is like it pulls it out of the Constitution, I think. But everybody's had them. Mm-hmm. You know, we came from czars. You think we wouldn't have them, but all the things that we have czars.
Of all things.
Of all the things.
Which they don't have to be confirmed or anything like that. They just get appointed.
It's sort of like a miniature version of martial law, I think. You just got to give let it rip. You can do whatever you want to do. I mean, not fully. It's kind of a minor version of that. But pray. You know, God would give wisdom and say, hey, we need to change this. I mean, there is a law trying to be passed right now by one particular congressman that says that the law is you have to read the bill before you vote on it. By law, you actually have to read it. Because this is what they're saying. They're saying, yeah. Because what happened, I mean, look at it though. You got 10 to 13,000 bills. You got to read the bill before you make it a law. So you got to read 2,500, you know, pages. It's impossible for a man to read.
Couldn't speak it.
Well, this is what will happen though. And we're fixing to go to a break. This is what will happen is they'll pass less laws. That's not a bad thing.
No.
That's good.
They'll only pass what they can read, which it may be, like the pastor said, 10 to 12. Laws at one session. That would be great.
Yeah.
Look at Texas and how they're surviving because they only meet every 2 years. They can only do so much damage when they show up. You know, I just want to say, I am so thankful for the church. I'm so thankful for those men and women who love God, who love others, who are being faithful to God. And stay in the light. Stay in the light. I mean, going into the mission field, going into your workplace, everywhere, you know, doing whatever you got to do for God. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you. I mean, you have a lot of things it likes to claim as the church. We even have like the atheist megachurch now. And they're just trying to claim the vocabulary. But you truly are. You truly are the church. If you're a believer, if you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you're serving him and you're walking as he's leading you, you're the church. I just want to say thank God for you. Thank God for his body, his son's body, Jesus' body, the church. You know, we're talking about, you know, praying for those in authority over us. And this is a whole nother realm. I didn't even, I probably judged it because I just thought it's useless. So much darkness is coming off of our college campuses. Mm. So much evil is coming from us. Like, if you want your child destroyed, if you want your child, if you want to destroy your child, you know, based on what you're about to hear right now, from Alan Barton's about to share, that send them to today's colleges. Mm. You know, you're creating, I mean, the school system, you know, it depends on where you are in your school system. It's like, you got to find out, are y'all for God here? Yeah. Are y'all for? I'm always looking at a school book over in England, and a brand new published book, and they didn't even have Israel on the map. I mean, they weren't even there. Jordan came all the way over to the ocean. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's a brand new published book. And it's like, we have to understand, we have to pay attention to what's going on here. I want you to listen to this, because we're talking about praying for those in authority over us, and we've got to begin to pray for our presidents, and who presidents are actually voted in of universities, and praying for the professors. Listen to this. We'll be right back.
You know, when we were reading that verse yesterday, and even as you read it, start this program, talking about praying for leaders and those in eminent places, and that if we do so, he knows how to get a message to them. And when we closed out yesterday, this thought struck me. I've never thought this thought before in
me
my
either.
Life, to my knowledge.
No.
Those in eminent places, those in authority, include those in authority in our education system, for example, in our universities.
Oh, yeah.
And last Friday, when we were talking about education, we pointed out that right now between 71 and 88% of our Christian kids who go to college are renouncing their faith at college. And that over 50% of our Christian kids who go to Christian colleges are renouncing their faith at Christian colleges, because the professors in the Christian colleges were trained by the pagans in the secular colleges.
That's right.
And Jesus tells us in Luke 6:40 that every student, when he's fully trained, will be just like his teacher. So those Christian professors are trained by those pagans, and they think like the pagans. They're living in Egypt, and they think they're Egyptians instead of Hebrews. So in thinking of that, I saw a stat yesterday that really got my attention. A survey done among professors across the United States, all these professors, and I know that our kids are really vulnerable to them. And all these professors, 2% of university professors think badly about Jews. 22% of university professors think badly about Muslims. 53% of university professors think badly about evangelical Christians.
David!
26 times higher than they think badly about Jews, 2.5 times higher than they think badly about Muslims. They think of evangelical Christians worse of all. So guess what they're putting in our kids? If we pray for our leaders and those in authority, including those professors, and they get a revelation of that mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ, it'll change what they say about evangelicals.
It certainly
it'll change
will.
And God knows who they need to hear it from, and it may not be an evangelical Christian because they don't think very highly of us.
Yeah.
But God knows how to get that, and we need to be putting those professors in there when we pray for leaders and those in authority.
Oh, absolutely. Father,
I tell you what, if that doesn't stir you up, first of all, that's your tax dollars. That's your money they're taking out of your paycheck to be able to fund those universities. That doesn't just come out of off of trees. Mm-hmm. That's tax dollars at work in much of these universities. And what they said was that 71 to 81% of Christians going to secular colleges renounce Jesus. They renounce their faith in Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Think about it. 71 to 81% going to some secular college. It's not a Christian college. And you're thinking, that's my alma mater. You're going to sacrifice your kid.
That's right.
You're going to pay to have your kid to renounce Jesus Christ. While you're robbing from God, 97% is robbing. It's right. Like, wake up.
Forget the logo. Forget the mascot.
Yeah, forget it. This is not about sports. Wake up. Find out if 71 to 81% of Christians are renouncing their faith when they come to that college, that university, and you call yourself a Christian, you're going to send your kids to be sacrificed to Moloch? Really? And then 50% of Christians going to Christian colleges.
How many?
50%.
Wow.
Christians going to Christian colleges, by the time they're done, they renounce their faith.
Unbelievable.
And of course, they're trained up by pagan professors. These professors have been trained up by pagan mindsets and not trained up by God. And so they're leading people away from God. I mean, when a survey was just recently taken, he's talking about, he says 2% of university professors, these are a survey done for university professors, 2% of the professors think badly about Jews, 2%. 22% of university professors think bad about Muslims, 22%. But then they say 53% of university professors think bad about evangelical Christians. That's 26 times worse than Muslims.
Wow.
And I'm not thinking you should think bad about Muslims. I'm just thinking, what happened to America?
Yeah.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and all.
Yeah.
Liberty and justice for all. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
What? I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you what happened. We need to find out how America got here and how we stay here. And hopefully that's a related article. America, how we got here and how we stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Men found out about the Word of God, and they met the God of the Word. They met God. And after 150, 151 years after the death of King James, who he had the authorized King James Bible, and it's I'm just saying the Word got in men's hand. I'm not talking about the King James is the thing. The Declaration of Independence was signed for America.
Mm.
One nation under God. They knew when they met God, they realized we can actually do this thing. This is an experiment. Can man have values in God? Can we honor God and God sustain our nation? And yes, it's true. It can be. But if you remove God, you're going to go up under tyranny. Look what's happening right here. How do we do this? We pray for those in authority over us. Pray. How many universities and colleges are in your region? Mm-hmm. Do you know the president's name? Do you know the board's name? Do you know the professors that are teaching there? Do you have their pictures? Do you have their name? Let me tell you something, houses of prayer. What are you praying about? Are you praying against the church? Are you praying for those in authority?
Mm-hmm.
Think about what you could be doing. If you have 24-hour prayer going on in your community, and they're popping up everywhere, and we're going to talk about, you know, house of prayers or house of gossip, you know, what are they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to understand that we're not going to accomplish nothing if it's gossip. But if we're praying for those in authority over us, God said, this is pleasing. I mean, it takes 24 hours, 7 days that week just to name off all these folks and pray for them with their faces. It should be on the walls of every place of prayer and every website and say, we're praying for this person. And this is the exact biblical prayer we're praying. God loves this person and wants this person to be saved. And begin to pray for those universities. We have surrendered our universities to darkness. And it's time for us to begin to pray for the leadership over those universities, believing that God will speak to them. He'll get a message to them and can turn it back. Truly, Christian colleges again, and colleges that honor God. Praying for those in authority over us. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today, or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.